I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome to Help I Suck at Dating. I think this is our second episode of the year, if I remember correctly. I'm Jared Haven, of course, joined by Dean Ungler. Dean, how the hell are you?
I'm just eating my cheesy poofs over here, Jared. I'm doing good, man. Thanks for asking.
We had a debate before the podcast, poofs or puffs. So let us know on Help I Suck at Dating's Instagram whether you guys think it's poofs or puffs.
We're dying to know. We're dying to know what the suck army thinks, whether it's poofs or puffs.
Dean's a poof guy. I'm a puff guy.
I'm going to beat Jared to it. We got a very special episode for you guys today. We have the one and only Markel Martin joining us from, where is it again? Rialto, California. So he's going to be co-hosting with us all day. You guys know how we like to do it. And yeah, we're just going to kind of take it step by step, I guess. It's a new year. It's a new year to be thankful for in the podcast world. And I think this is one of the best ways to have a episode number two. So
you just referenced a New Kids on the Block song. Nicely done, Dean. Well, Markel, first of all, yeah, Markel Martin is here, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Markel was on Andy Dorfman's season of The Bachelorette. And then, Markel, you were on Bachelor in Paradise season one, if I remember correctly. So how are you?
I'm good, fellas. Thanks for having me on, man. And it's nice to meet you guys.
I remember, it's nice to meet you too. I remember you were like a little bit, so first of all, you were on Andy Dorfman's season of The Bachelorette, and then when you went to Paradise, I remember like the women kind of going crazy for you a little bit, because obviously Claire's The Bachelorette right now. I remember her, it was like, I think Michelle Money, right? Though they were like fighting against each other for you.
Yeah. Michelle Money came on like later, but I do remember, if you're referencing kind of like the beginning of the season. Yeah, that was fun, man. I felt like, you know, we were just coming into a new world of the Bachelor franchise, right? So, you know, come to see that, you know, Claire was the Bachelorette. That's awesome to see. She's an amazing person. I still remember some of the stories that she used to share, but as you guys know, it's just such a fun experience to be a part of the franchise, you know. So now I'm just chilling. Joe,
you were an OG Bachelor in Paradise season one. But that aside, so you have made the news lately because you're engaged.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on the engagement. Pardon my ignorance, but so is the woman that you're engaged to from Bachelor, or is it someone that you met out in the real world? Give us an update.
No, just old school, old fashioned, just real world, you know, circumstance.
That's still a thing, huh?
Yeah, right. I know. I feel like I meet more people that either meet on like TV or like dating apps or something like that. And it's no better, no worse. It's just interesting to see the dynamic of, you know, where the world is today with technology. Right? But yeah, she was my neighbor. I don't know how much of the story you guys want me to get into it.
I
want to
hear the whole thing. I love hearing
start to finish.
We
love it.
All right. Fair enough. So I grew up in Rialto, California. I went to go play football at NLB in Las Vegas. So I lived in Vegas for 12 years. And long story short, after grad school at UNLV, I was a personal stylist, worked at UFC, and I was just staying at my apartment complex. And, you know, I met my fiance at my apartment complex. She had ran out of gas. I took her to the gas station, and kind of the rest was history. We start exchange numbers, right? And she invited me because her brother's a guitarist. He used to play in the Guns N' Roses, if you guys remember.
Holy shit. I thought you were gonna be like, oh, they used to play in some sort of cover band down the street. They would play at a bar on Friday and Saturdays. No, you were like, oh yeah, they played in a band. What was that band called? Guns N' Roses. Yeah, little known thing.
Yeah, no, her brother is DJ Ashba, or whatnot. So he replaced Slash. I don't know much about rock and roll at all, but
that's really cool.
Concerts and stuff. So yeah, that's how. And we didn't start dating right away at all. Like, I'm super, super old school. And I'll give you a lot of side conversations as we go. So if you guys get lost, just I'll bring it back. You know, my parents had been married since my mom was 16 and my dad was 18. And they're still married today, thankfully. And, you know, so me growing up and wanting that, aspiring to have that type of relationship, you know, in Vegas, if you know, I tell everyone Vegas like ages you by 10 years because it's so many people from all over the world. It's the city of sin, as some will call it. Right. And me being there in my transformative, like mature or trying to become a mature adult stages, you know, I've kind of done it all, really. And I don't say that with a sense of pride.
I was about to say, I feel like those two things don't go together. It's like, you know, I really wanted to become a mature, better human being. So I moved to Vegas.
So around, I was working at UFC at the time, and I got a random phone call from the Bachelorette because of my dating history was so terrible. I sucked at dating, right? I was that guy in Vegas. I thought I was cool and you know, college football player, the whole nine. And one of my best friends, she nominated me to be on the show. And she said, hey, you need a change of pace and maybe you can find your love here because you're certainly not finding success in Vegas. And it wasn't the women's fault. It was definitely my fault, right? So at that same time, that's where I met my fiance, Carrie. And she knew I was going through the process of the show, and we were just friends at the time. So she was like supporting me as a friend, and she like hadn't had cable in her apartment and bought it just to watch me on The Bachelorette. I come back, right? You come back and you try to get acclimated to the craziness and the social media. Social media definitely wasn't as big as it is now, right? Like, but so that was happening. And I think at that point in time, that's where I saw a clear divide of like, okay, I don't even claim it that it was like, you know, your 5 minutes of fame. It's like 5 seconds of fame, at least that I felt of like the behemoth that is the Bachelor franchise, right? Mm-hmm. So you get girls coming out of the woodwork, and you know, I was just like coming off like, okay, I'm just gonna go back to my old self because the show didn't work out. And she just stayed solid and steadfast throughout the whole thing. And what it allowed me to have is this perspective of, okay, I know what like Vegas Markell was like and is. Right. I went on the show and saw kind of the romanticism of the whole thing and the idea of potentially spending the rest of your life with someone while at the same time, you know, it not working out and coming back. I just wanted stability. So she was kind of like my rock in a sense. And one thing led to another. And yeah, I don't want to bore you guys.
Let's get to that. One thing led to another. How did it change from being friends to going to boyfriend, girlfriend? Was it you? Was it her? Was it mutual? You guys just made out one night and was like, wow, that was really good.
right. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. So we should do that more often.
So what happened was when I came back from the show, one of the producers of The Bachelorette was like, hey, we know you love cookies because while I was on the show, I would always eat cookies, right? Like they would make sure cookies were there because I just love them. And
well, you don't look like you love cookies. Good God. I wish I could eat cookies and look like you. Damn it. I eat cookies and I am not in good shape right now. I'm winter Jared.
I'm winter Markell. I'm 20 pounds overweight. And it's just like the metabolism just falls off a cliff. And plus quarantine does no one any favors. No. So while I was on the show and we were filming, I would tell them like, yo, one day when I retire, all I want is a gourmet cookie lounge where it's like cookies, wine, milk, tea, whatever, but just in like a little speakeasy, but for cookies. Right. And they're like, no, you may want to like start that sooner than later. Like you'll be surprised. So I come back, the social media kind of blows up. People start recognizing you from the show. And a guy had hit me up and was like, hey man, like I love your thing with cookies or whatever. Like, can we grab lunch? So I told him about this business that I have when I retire. He's like, dude, why not just do it now? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just give it a shot and try to start my own cookie business. Right. So that's what happened. The chef of UFC was my chef. And then the guy who I met became my partner, and Carrie, who was my friend, believed in me and my idea and the concept and started helping out. So we went from, we did a cookie and wine tasting event at like the Venetian Hotel. And we went through 5,000 cookies in 30 minutes.
Holy crap.
Jeez.
The most sold out like booth. I have some, I'll post some throwback pictures so you guys can check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like line was wrapped up. And so that was like proof of concept, right? I was like, okay. And it was called a social cookie. So I was like, okay, we're on to something, because I wanted to pair cookies with wine, because that was my thing to get girls prior, like in college. Because I was broke, right, in college, and you're living in a dorm or sharing a house with some friends, or when I got my first apartment by myself, I would invite a girl over, bake some cookies, play some music, have some wine, and then there you go, you know.
knock it out of the park.
That was my thing, you know. So anyways, that concept was working. Carrie started helping me out. We ended up going from just, hey, doing private events, so, okay, the next step, let's see if we can start shipping cookies online. So she has a marketing background, and she's like the hardest worker on the planet. And she was helping me with that. We got a commissary kitchen in Vegas and started cooking out of the commissary kitchen. And just as if we were getting our certifications from like Nevada and everything about like the nutritional facts to put on labeling and packaging. Mm-hmm. In that same month, I found out that I had genetic heart disease. So that was, you know, crazy. And that threw me for a loop. And so because of that news, we shut down the business. And, you know, they said, hey, you got to get heart surgery, you know, because you can die at any minute, you know, working out or whatever.
How old were you when you found this out?
This was 2016. So I was 29.
Wow.
Yeah. 29. And yeah, I was, you know, in tip top shape, right? You know, I felt like I was, again, in my professional career working at the UFC as an exec there, and everything was great. And then to get that news was like heartbreaking, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm sure you guys both, you know, great looking guys and work out. And so to have that throughout your whole life and literally just play sports and them telling you, hey, you can't work out,
yeah,
you can't, you know, do this, do that, your life's gonna change. I fell into like a little mini depression. Mm-hmm. And that again opened my eyes to what a good woman is, right? I was at a time in my life where I was this young hotshot, and then I felt like I was at a time in my life where I was at the bottom, and I was. And to add on top of that, two months later, after I found out that I needed heart surgery, I got laid off from UFC.
Jeez.
Talk about when
it rains, it pours.
Exactly. So WME, it was a big talent agency in LA. They purchased UFC for $4 billion. And they laid off 100 people or more. And I was one of them, unfortunately, because of redundancies. You know, it was no one's fault. It was just that's the nature of the business. So I was broke because I was jobless. Then I was told I had to have heart surgery at 28, and I had to move out of my apartment because I couldn't afford it. I had to start getting unemployment. And again, she was just remained solid. And I've been with enough women over my time. Again, not trying to, you know, promote that. But I saw the clear difference. Most girls would leave.
Right.
I mean, most girls would just be like, oh, you know, thanks, but I got to go back to the club, or sure, I got to do this, and you're no longer hot because you're going to have heart surgery, and that's not cool. And yeah, so that's what made me like fall more in love with her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say between the cookies business and the heart surgery, that's when we started, you know, making out and saying, hey,
doing all that cool
so
stuff.
So you guys had to have been together for, because if that all happened, what, 2016, 2017, you guys have been at least dated for like 3+ years then, yeah?
Yeah. So we don't even have like a date. Like, you know how people like have like those dating.
Yeah.
We don't have that. We kind of approximate and say 5 or 6 years, because that's how long we've known each other. But our relationship, you know, went from just friendship to more than friends to what are we to, right, the typical stuff. And then it's just like, okay, no, we're solely committed to one another.
There was a long gray period, it sounds like, where it was like, yeah.
Well, we don't even identify as a gray period. Like, we knew what we were to one another, mm-hmm. but the outside world, it would look like a gray period.
Right.
Any sense. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. We definitely want to hear more about this. But before we do that, we're going to take one quick break and then just jump right back into it. So for the listeners, stay tuned and we'll be right back with Markel. All right, we're back.
Nice segue, Dean.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. I've been doing this for years. I'm getting pretty good at it. So
I like the mustache, by the way, bro. That's strong.
Oh yeah, thank you. Actually, I was gonna shave it off today, but you know, I just get so attached to it. I know it's hideous.
What does Kaylin think of it?
You know, she's very kind, and she says whatever makes me happy makes her happy. But I know deep down it probably bothers her.
Does it like irritate her upper lip?
Because
that looks like it would be some serious rash redness right there on the upper lip.
No. Yeah, I can only imagine. I think she likes the fact that I consistently change it up. So, like, I'll go into the bathroom one day, come out, and it's completely shaven, and then I'll grow it back. And, like, you know, I don't really stick to one thing. But no, it's
you're like an amoeba, yeah. It's very, you just keep it spicy every day.
It's getting close to having to be cut. But, Markel, thank you for sharing that story with us. We appreciate it. So, you did end up having heart surgery then, yeah?
Yeah. I got a defibrillator placed in 2016.
Wow. Yeah. That's and you were saying it was a genetic heart disease too, so it wasn't because of all the cookies you're eating.
Right, no.
That sucks, man. I know, like you were saying, like you're in tip-top shape, you're young, you're healthy, and then boom, just like that. It's scary, man, but I'm glad to hear you're doing well, glad to hear you're engaged. That's super exciting. You just recently got engaged, right?
Yeah, December 19th, 2020, you know, obviously it's was a terrible, monumentous year for everyone, and I just didn't want to go out on a low note. So, you know, I was like, you know what, no matter what, I'm doing this. The circumstances of quarantine and social distancing weren't like the best, but I was able to hit up some contacts that I had in Vegas. Red Rock Casino hooked it up really well.
Nice.
Some friends, helped set up the room. And then we drove out there from Cali and, you know, I brought my parents and I flew her parents out. So it was just a small, intimate setting.
Nice.
In a suite. And
And so
she said yes. So that was a good thing.
That's the
it's
most
good to
important
end it on a high
thing.
Note.
So you went there and I'm assuming you proposed before you, like, was her parents a surprise? Like, she said yes and then her parents popped out?
No. Her parents were a surprise. Like, so the way I set it up was, I said, hey, we're going to have dinner with my parents. But before we go to dinner, my fighter, because I represent UFC fighters, I'm like, my fighter's also here and he's staying in the suite. Let's go say hi. So as we go into the suite, I had like rose petals on the floor and her parents and my parents were there. And as soon as she saw them, she started like crying and she was shocked, like, what's going to happen? And she turned around and I was on one knee.
Nice. But as far as, I mean, over the past couple of years, it sounds like 2020 might not have even been the worst one. But that's great that you were able to end it on a high note, which is good. And it's funny, you keep ragging on Vegas. But I was just, Jared and I have talked over the past month or so. Kaylin and I just bought a house out in Vegas. So
hopefully
you'll give us an inside line on some of the good spots out there.
Oh, congrats. Where at? What area?
In Summerlin, actually pretty close to Red Rocks Casino.
Oh, Summerlin's beautiful. Awesome. I love that area. That's really
We know it's an older community, which I think is probably going to be good. You know, we're not going to be like in the sins part of the city, but yeah, we're excited. But yeah,
moved there yet, or is it just like an investment property? You guys are going to go
It's going to be our permanent residence. We are moving in April is when the house is finished being built. It's not finished yet, but yeah, we're going to stay in LA and also spend time out in Vegas. And who knows, maybe stop in Rialto on the way out.
Man, for sure, man. Let me know whatever you need. I got a lot of cool people out in Vegas, and you're gonna love it. I'm sure you guys have been there multiple times, but
yeah,
I feel like when you're a resident there, you see a different side of Vegas, and you appreciate it more. Like, as a resident, you don't spend time in like the Sin City, like the Strip. You just right. know it's there and it's accessible. But outside of Vegas, it's like amazing. Like, it's,
what it seems perfect for me because there's a lot of golf courses. There's great rock climbing, great mountain biking, great hiking, like all those things that I like to do. So
yeah, Red Rocks. Looking forward to it. I love the Red Rocks over there.
Yeah. Jared, I think we got some questions for Markel, don't we?
Oh, or absolutely.
Some host general questions, right?
We do have some host general questions that I want to get to. Markel, I did want to ask you one question, though. So when I was on Paradise, I remember I was doing an ITM, as you guys know, they're in the moments, where I was doing this interview with a producer, and you go in a room and you talk, and this particular producer, I won't say his name, but you guys both know him. He's the producer you'd like sit down and like have 3-hour conversations with. And I remember he brought up your name and he was talking about how, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but he was singing your praises. He loves you. And he was saying how he wanted you to be the Bachelor. And I remember back then there was rumors about you possibly becoming the first Black Bachelor in the franchise. And so now that we have Matt James, who is the first Black Bachelor, what are your thoughts? How close were you to becoming the Bachelor? And, you know, what are your thoughts about the franchise moving forward?
Yeah, no. First, I love to see that the franchise made that decision. I think they made the right decision. I think Matt James is going to be a great representative of all the Bachelors and the whole franchise and stuff like that. And me, just not only as like an alum, but also just as a Black man, like I love it, right? Like I don't subscribe to like say, hey, I'm the, like I watch every Monday night or whatever like that, you know, just cause I'm just busy, but I always support the show. And I checked in the first episode and it's just good to see. But in terms of where I was back then, right. And I appreciate you sharing that. Cause I love that dude. I don't know if he listens, but you probably talk to him more than
oh, me. He listens.
Oh yeah. He listens every week.
tell him I said, what's up. And I love him. I really, really do. Like, there's some special people, as you guys know, on that franchise that is just like irreplaceable. And yes, he wanted me, or at least like positioned me to potentially be the first Black Bachelor. And at that time, you know, you asked how close was I to becoming that. I have no idea, honestly. I would assume not that close, but at the same time, like, there are points where I can argue, hey, maybe I was close because of the multiple conversations and, you know, the, I think it was the Mentel All, right? It was Chris or myself that seemingly one would argue like would be next,
mm-hmm.
You know? I do remember a conversation with a different producer and, you know, when I was back in Vegas and I was like, oh, like, I don't know, you know, if I like, do I want to and think I could, like, I'm leaning towards yes.
Of course.
Right. I'm just going through the conversation. However, I remember bringing up my mom and how she would react or my family would have to deal with scrutiny. Right. So because of my work in like UFC and knowing like media and stuff like that, I felt like it would be a hard decision to make for me personally, mm-hmm. because I've predominantly dated outside of my race, right? My fiance is white. And so I had that vision of, okay, if I am fortunate enough to be selected to be the first Black Bachelor, right? And we have this diverse group. And if I end up with a white woman, what does that look like? If I end up with a Latino Hispanic, what does that look like? If I end up with a Black woman, what does that look like? Not just for myself, right? Obviously, like, that's what matters at the end of the day. But we all know in the world of just media and the franchise, that pressure and that judgment and, you know, that's heavy.
Yeah.
And I like to think of myself as like a mature, responsible adult, but I had to say, like, honestly, I was like, honestly, I don't know if I would, you know, because I also knew that if I met some woman on there that I, you know, could see myself being with or but not necessarily get engaged to. Mm-hmm. They knew and I knew I wouldn't do it. You know, like I'm stubborn in that sense. Like I gotta know, like I'm a slow mover. Like I remember them pushing me on Bachelor in Paradise, like, you know, kiss someone, you know what I mean? Like people want to, you know, but yeah,
that's, man, part of your charm though, I imagine.
I agree.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't know, man. I like to think I'm an okay guy and you know, some people are going to hate me. Some people are going to like be cool with me. You know, I'm just me, but yeah, when it comes to The Bachelor, that was my experience. They went with Chris. I think they made the right decision. You know what I mean? At the time, I was younger and more emotional. Mm-hmm. I remember writing a blog as to my truth of why I thought. And it wasn't an indictment on the franchise, but more so like, hey, in 2014, the world was not ready for a Black Bachelor, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just my own personal opinion. I could be totally wrong, but at that time, it wasn't the time. I felt like they do much better if they would have a Black woman on first, right? Which they ended up doing, Rachel, like, yep. Separately. It's not like I told them, like, hey, you guys should do that.
Yeah,
but right. Like, yeah, just like logically speaking, in the media world, like, that's a more safer bet, I think. And they did that. And then, you know, with everything that's happened on a lot of issues of 2020, some of the negative of 2020, right? And I know the network has already been thinking about it, right? It's not like it was so reactive of like, hey, you know, Black Lives Matter, let's put Matt in there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that. They always wanted to do it. I'm a perfect example of, you know, they were thinking of that, but it just wasn't the right time and for whatever variables. You know, I think with timing, you know, everything happens for a reason. So I'm glad it ended up that way, you know, because maybe I probably would have been such a terrible bachelor and they're
no ready. Way.
I don't think that's
but
the
hey,
case,
not
man.
Being the bachelor not being the bachelor led you to Carrie. So like you said, it all works out in the end. It's interesting to hear you say that too, because Matt, I don't know if you watched the first episode of The Bachelor last week, but or whenever it aired, but Matt had that same conversation with Chris Harrison, as far as I remember, where he was like, you know, there's expectations of me. I don't know, like, I don't want people to criticize me one way or the other, but like, it's there, you are opening yourself up for a lot of criticism, and especially as a Black man, you're opening yourself up for a lot more criticism, which it's got to be probably a scary thing to confront for sure.
Yeah man, and like my hat goes off to him, because yeah, when he had that conversation with Chris before everything kind of started, I was like, I really respect them for having that conversation on Matt's side
and airing it. Yeah,
and airing it, because it's just like, you know, it's real, you know,
yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, it's real life that, you know, Black men go through and have to think about, you know what I mean? I remember when I first started, like, you know, being public with Carrie and going out to certain like white areas or going back to, you know, middle of nowhere, Illinois, where she's from, like feeling those eyes on
you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know like he's going to go through a lot of different emotions, you know, this season, or already has, right. It's already been shot, but, and I don't know who he ends up with, but yeah, I hope he's handling it well, you know, and I'm in full support of him, and I know the franchise is in full support of him, but I'll be interested to see kind of what
Well, he's got a double time, because he is, you know, he is the first Black Bachelor, of course, but he's also the first ever Bachelor to never have been a contestant on The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. Minus, I guess, the first Bachelor ever. But, like, you know, like that in and of itself is crazy. It doesn't matter if you're white, Black, or whatever. But, like, you know, because you kind of, like, for instance, Markel, you were on Bachelorette and then you went on Bachelor in Paradise. When you went on Bachelor in Paradise, you're, like, kind of knowing what you can expect because you had been through that whole process. This guy has never been on reality TV before, you know? So that's crazy enough as it is.
That's true. And that was something I learned. I thought he was on, like, a previous season or whatever, but when he was like, yeah, they just brought him off, you know, from the street or whatever, like man, more power to him, you know.
That's what makes me, I love Matt as the Bachelor. I you know, he's obviously, he looks the part, he fits the part, he's tall, he's good looking, he's charismatic, right. But one of the things that I love watching the first episode was the fact that he has this wide-eyed look about him, because this is the first time he's going through the process as well, where previous bachelors, who are fantastic, and obviously I'm friends with Ben and Nick, they have this certain comfort level about them because they have been through it before, right? So they kind of help the women along, and this is how it's kind of done, and they have a certain confidence about them, where Matt was kind of lost along with the women. And for me, watching that, like, Matt go through this process for the first time along with the women that he was talking about was so endearing. It just like made me love Matt as the bachelor even more. And I think it's something that maybe the show should consider moving forward, because I didn't realize how much I'd really, really like a bachelor just doing this for the first time and trying to figure it out along with the women. Cause it's such a bonding experience.
Yeah. That's such a good point. And it makes for not only just great TV, but just like, just such a humanistic like response, mm-hmm. because it's such fresh, because he's coming in without having any preconceived experience.
He's all of us, mm-hmm. on night one when we were on The Bachelorette. It was like, what the hell are we doing with our lives? Like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, night one, man. That, if anything, I don't know if you guys are the same way, but like, that is my like example of where I tell people, I'm like, that night one was traumatizing.
Oh, dude, so bad.
The worst.
Like, it's so weird.
For me, walking out night one, it was like I was surrounded by a bunch of – I was the youngest person on my season, so I was surrounded by a bunch of older guys who were, like, super successful in their careers. And I was like – I felt so out of place. I was like, I have no reason to be here. But now Matt, like, he still has to have these first night jitters, but it's just so weird to think that he – is the reason that all of them are there, you know? Like, when you're there night one of The Bachelorette, you're just like one person of 30 to get this girl's attention. But he's the main event. Like, he's the reason everyone's there. I don't know. It's definitely gotta be an interesting experience, but.
It's a whirlwind to say the least. But Markel, we do have some questions for you. Now, usually we do, like, listen, we're two dudes on a podcast called Help, I Suck at Dating. So sometimes we ask ourselves some random dumb questions because that's what guys do. So we figured, why not jump right into that right now?
All right, let's do it.
So, Dean.
Wait, can we pause real quick? I just had a question for Jared. Did you just say whirlwind?
Is that not an expression?
You said whirlwind?
Hold on. Everyone, settle down for a second. Just everyone calm down. It's a whirlwind. W-H-I-R-L.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I thought you said whirlwind.
And I probably did. I grew up in the Rhode Island public whirlwind. School system, bro. What do you expect from me? Okay? People from Rhode Island, we grow up in Rhode Island. We live in Rhode Island and then we die in Rhode Island. Okay, we don't know the outside world. I'm one of these people that escaped briefly.
It's
and now
a whirlwind
I'm back.
Of life, man. All right.
Anyway,
you should have ran with it, Jared, and said, "Yeah, wind revolves around the world as well."
Just try to explain it. So the wind factors in. You know, the world spins around, bro. Don't you know? Don't you know the world's flat? Yeah, and then the wind blows over it. All right. So Dean. Markel, and I'll answer this too. What is your most embarrassing moment in junior high or high school?
Ooh, most embarrassing moment in junior high or high school. I'll go with high school. Probably, and this is all pertaining to women, right?
It could be anything.
Just whatever you want.
Oh, shoot. I don't know, man. Probably like getting caught by my mother trying to have
what was that
after some cookies and wine?
Right. Probably cookies and Capri Sun at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mom walked in on me once, and that was,
well, walked in you alone or with somebody else?
No, with someone at the time.
Got it.
And it was like we were getting in the process of having things happen, you know? It's like,
what was your reaction?
I ran towards my mom for some reason. Like, I ran towards her like, "Whoa, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I remember her saying, "It's all good. I wish you just would have called me so I can drive around the block a few times."
What a good response.
Oh, so she's supportive of it, though. She's a homie about it.
Well, I'm the youngest of three boys. Like, I have no sisters, so she's seen it all. right? And my brothers were like, I'm the good one of my family. And yeah, so she was like very supportive. I was super, super young.
Dean, what was your most embarrassing?
I was going to stall actually and ask you what yours was so I could have some more time to think.
Well, honestly, I was trying to think of one, but this probably is the most embarrassing. So, Markel, you got walked in on with a girl where me in my teenage years, my younger teenage years, I got walked in on by myself.
Nice.
So that was it was my dad. So, like, you know, I was just in my room and, you know, I'm probably like 12 or 13 at this point. And like, you can only imagine what 12 or 13 year old boys do in their room. So I'm, you know, discovering things. And my dad just like walked in, but it was just so traumatizing. And then he immediately was like, oh, and then closed the door. And then it was just like that moment where I'm just, you know, standing or laying there. I don't even remember because I just blurted out of my memory. And, you know, you have to like go sit down at the dinner table in like 2 hours. And but my dad was great about it. So he like came into my room a little while afterwards and he's like, you know, just if you ever want to talk, just let me know. And then he was like, just, you know, in the most dad way possible, was like, just don't do that. And I'm like, OK, Dad. Yeah, I just looking back on it now in my 32 year old self, I'm like, what horrible advice, Dad? You told me just not to do
not
it.
Do that.
That is amazing. That's your American Pie moment.
That's your American Pie moment. Well, that's kind of where my mind goes too, is my dad walked in on me once when I was like maybe 12. Yeah, probably 12 or 13, similar age to you, Jared. And I thought I was like home from school sick that day. So I thought I had the house to myself. He like opened the door and I like look up and he's just standing there and he like turns around and just walks away. Like he like pretending like he didn't see anything. And then, like, the next day, my mom talked to me. She goes, hey, were you doing something naughty in the room yesterday?
She
and I was like,
naughty?
No, what are you talking about? I was just sitting there. I don't know what you're talking about. So that probably was, like, one of the more embarrassing moments for me. But I was trying to think more of, like, what could have happened, like, in school that would have been really embarrassing. And surely there were plenty of things. But that's definitely the first one that comes to mind, is whenever you get caught in the act of something like that, man.
It stays in your brain. It's a moment you'll never forget.
It certainly does.
All right, so Markel and Dean, this one's a little bit more raunchy. What is the best time of day, you know, to be in the mood, in the moment? What's the best time of day for sex?
Oh, okay. I was about to say, like, for ourselves or like...
Oh, no. With somebody else, we're moving on to our adult years now.
All right. I mean, me, I'm just, yeah, nighttime, like, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not much of a morning person. I don't mind the morning, but I prefer night.
As I get older, it's like, I don't know, 4, 5 p.m. I'm exhausted by 8.
Oh, wow. I'm like, you're pushing it. It's 8 o'clock. No way.
That's why you just got to be a morning person. I think morning is the best time to do it.
Morning?
You're a morning guy?
Yeah, absolutely. You wake up. You're already, you know, you just had a couple good dreams. You're already feeling a little like vigorous down there, so...
I have to ask you guys though. This is a guy question. It's just like, are you guys just getting it in? Or are you going to brush your teeth and wash up first, or like what? Like just raw dogging it? What are we doing?
Wow, we're bringing raw dog to the Help I Suck at Dating podcast. No, you know what it is. You found the right girl if you can kiss, or you found the right person if you can kiss them in the morning before you brush your teeth or they brush your teeth. Because if that doesn't taste bad to you.
Full mouth kiss.
Oh, yeah. Full mouth kiss.
I agree with Jared. I'm the same way. I don't need to like brush or anything in the morning. What I've noticed, actually, what's funny is Kaylin got like this California king size bed and it is massive. Like when we were visiting my brother in Montana, we stayed in a queen size bed and it felt like a tiny little cot. But so this California king bed that we sleep on, I like wake up in the morning and I'm like a good 6 feet away from her.
Yeah, you
know
guys
what
are
I mean?
So sometimes in bed,
it's the craziest thing. And so sometimes it's just like a weird thing because normally, you know, you wake up in a bed next to someone and you're like right there. But I have to like dig through blankets and pillows just to even see if she's still in bed without even realizing it. But no, I'm the same way as Jared. I think that if you like get up to brush and all those things, it kind of like takes away from the experience, in my opinion.
And it's like, all right, I'm ready for coffee.
Yeah,
Let's just do it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's just we'll just figure it out later. All right, last question, a little bit more thought provoking. Markel and Dean, where do you guys picture your life in your later years? Like, hopefully, knock on wood, the earth is still here and we're all still healthy and here. Where do you picture your life when you're 70, 80 years old, Markel?
Ooh, yeah. It may sound strange. I look forward to being, if I'm blessed enough to make it that far, to being like an 80-year-old man. Like, I want to be so awesome to, like, my grandkids and or great-grandkids. I picture myself dancing, flirting with Carrie, my wife, you know, just embarrassing, just being super. Like, I feel old people get a pass for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter if it's public or at the house, I'm going to do what I want, say what I want, when I want, how I want. So that, and hopefully we'll have a ton of money, a lot of real estate, and yeah, no worries or cares in the world.
There's a joke by a comedian named Tom Segura who talks about he can't wait to be at an age where he gets yelled at for trying to help out. Like, he tries to take the garbage out and his daughter will be like, "Are you out of your mind? You're 80. You'll die. Sit down. Don't do anything."
Exactly.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Markel. I'll be very happy if I make it to that age. You know, grateful to be there, I suppose. I imagine if I get there, I'll probably be, you know, contending to make the cut for the senior PGA.
Obviously.
Because that's probably going to be the only thing I'm going to be doing at that age anyway. Although with the advancements of, like, modern medicine, we could be 90 years old and feel like we're 40.
Look at Tom Brady.
So who the heck knows? Yeah, look at Tom Brady. I mean, granted, but we're hard-pressed to achieve his level of wealth. But, you know, we got a long way to go. It's not impossible. But, no, I agree. Yeah, just playing golf, hopefully wealthy enough to where I don't have to worry about anything, I guess. We'll see. But yeah, Jared makes a good point. It's like, if the world is still around.
Yeah, hopefully an asteroid.
Given the rate we've been going, I would say it's 50-50. It's a coin flip at this point.
Yeah, 2021's not off to a hot start. Let's just put it that way.
What about you, Jared? You're going to have grandkids, great-grandkids.
I mean, I hope, yeah, similar to Markel. Hopefully, you know, have some grandkids running around. And just, it's weird. I mean, this is really morbid. But it's, you know, in my life, the only family I've ever really known is my parents and my cousins and aunts and uncles. And, you know, to think about, if we're lucky enough to be at 70, 80 years old, to think about, like, what my family will look like then, it'll be so much different. You know, hopefully, you know, my family will be kids and grandkids. And so it's like, that's what I'm most fascinated with, to see the, like, you know, the evolution of family and friends. So anyway, But let's take a quick break. We also have some emails, of course, from the best listeners in the world, Suck Army. So stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We're going to get into some emails. We love our emails. Thank you guys so much for sending them in. You know, it's obviously always been one of our favorite parts. But before we do that, I just want to say one thing. If you're listening to this, you probably suck at dating and need some help getting back out there.
And we all know it can be hard and you may not know how to start, where to look. But we know the perfect matchmakers that can help you find your perfect match at 3-Day Rule.
Because let's be honest, your time is too valuable to go on bad dates. With one of the largest and most selective networks in the country, 3-Day Rule will get you the dates you want.
That's right. Bad dates suck. So make sure you sign up today using our link, 3dayrule.com/iHeart. That's 3dayrule.com/iHeart. And 3 is spelled out. It's not the number. THREE, dayrule.com/iHeart. You will thank us later.
All right, let's get an email. So we have the first email, but I think Mark hopefully is listening in and is willing to jump in and help us out with these.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Absolutely. In fact, we have one for Jared and one for Dean today.
Perfect. None for Markel.
This is bullshit.
We'll start with the one for Jared. This is from April. I have a question about Jared and Ashley's story. I'm in a similar situation, and I'm so curious to know what your thoughts were throughout the time you chose not to date Ashley. I can understand how she felt, but not much was said about what you were thinking and why you hadn't wanted to date her for a while.
I think a lot's been said about my thought process during those years. I think I've covered it extensively. But for April, again, the nervousness of jumping into a situation, being unsure about it. I love Ashley, obviously, more than anything. Ashley was not my type when I first met her. Physically, of course, she's stunning. But I always was attracted to more demure girls and shy and quiet. And Ashley's the complete opposite of that. Ashley's very emotional, says exactly what's on her heart. It's her best quality, but something that I just never really saw in a partner. And so it was like a process of me just accepting the fact of dating someone that I never really tried dating before, dating someone who wasn't in my, that I thought I could build a life with. And so it was just a lot of things. And you know, Ash had this thought of me, of what I was as a human being, as a guy, which I wasn't. You know, I could never reach her expectations. So keeping her at arm's length was always my way of, it was like a defense mechanism to be like, no, I'm crazy. You'll find out. And she now knows I'm crazy, but it's too late. You know, I put a ring on it. So that was a little bit of insight of what was happening. But
I feel like your guys' situation is somewhat similar to Markel and Carrie's, maybe less of like the obsessive, you know, Ashley over you situation, but it sounds like they were friends for a long time before they started actually like getting very serious about the relationship.
100%.
So what changed with you guys? I know you said that Carrie was like there throughout the entire time, but like, what was it like? Let's be honest. Usually in a friendship, there's one person that wants to date someone more than the other. So where would you have categorized yourself, Markel?
I would say I was the one in the relationship that wasn't ready. I kept her at a distance because I felt at one point I was not deserving of her, you know? So I was in that mold where she just kept telling me, hey, I love you as is. I accept you as is. I'm with you as is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Like, you don't understand. I've done so many crazy things in my life and, I'm not rich. I don't come from money, you know?
It's so funny. So Kaylin and I were actually just having the same conversation with each other. Well, so Kaylin was like filming for her YouTube channel, a Q&A between the two of us. And one of the questions was, when did Dean know that Kaylin was the one? And I had the exact same answer. I was talking about how when I kept showing like my worst sides of myself or like just pure honesty, like everyone, like Ashley and Carrie thought you guys were these, you know, fantastic men. And I'm not saying you're not, but they probably thought that you were way better than you are in a broad sense. And I feel like everyone kind of has those blinders on, especially when they meet someone that they really like. And then you live with them and you realize they're messy or, you know, they play too many video games. They don't put the toilet seat down, like all these things that really humanize you. And with Kaylin, that was my response too. I was like, I kept showing the worst sides of myself, which were just like the honest, truthful sides of myself. And she always said, yes, please, like, give me more. That's what I appreciate. Like, you're perfect just the way you are. And I think that's kind of the moment that it kind of allows you to go from friends to a serious relationship.
Yeah. Like, if I can add really quick, it was in the times that we were friends, I was just so overly honest. Like, I told her what I did this and what I did that, and probably too honest to where I started to learn, like, hey, like, there's a difference between like communicating and just like oversharing,
yeah.
You know, and it was at that point to where like I felt like that judgment, but it was just me having to like mature and kind of accept myself more, you know what I mean? And feel deserving of her.
Right. But how great is it now where it's like, if there's like a topic that gets brought up, you know, you don't have to like tiptoe around a subject because all of those avenues have already been talked about and explored and everything.
Yeah. No, it makes it so much easier, you know, because if you get into a relationship, in my opinion, like too soon, too early without knowing each other, and you start unpacking stuff, that's when it's like, okay, you know, I hate that about you, or I'm judging this about you. And, you know, whereas, you know, we kind of started off as like a mess, you know, and kind of like cleaned up from there, you know, and I was selfish. You know, I don't necessarily try to give this as advice, but me, I always think like you should be selfish at the beginning of a relationship and then you move up the curve to selfless.
You know? Yeah.
That's how I felt, as opposed to the other way around.
Can you expand upon that a little bit?
Yeah. So like you got to be selfish, meaning like when Carrie and I were friends and started dating, like, she knew my work came first, my family came first, you know, my ambitions came first. And then when we had time to hang out, then I would, and then we would just live in the moment and be present with one another. But that is like a non-negotiable with me. And again, I'm stubborn, and that's just what it was. So she kind of knew right away that, hey, she can either play along or try to like buck that system. But if she would buck, we may have grown separately. So instead of like just trying to like necessarily fit me, she also was doing her own thing and being independent or whatever. So as we started to grow, we just learned, like, you know what, like, we've been doing all this selfish stuff for ourselves, but we love it more. Like, when we have our time, like, why not grow a business together? Why not plan together? Why not save money together? And then it started becoming as like, now my perception is like, okay, how can I see her, you know, be the best version of herself?
And to your point too, I think one of the big positives that come from being selfish, at least at the beginning, is, let's say your partner tries to tell you to stop doing all these things that you want to be doing, then you start to like build a bit of resentment towards them for not letting you do the thing that you want to be doing, which can only lead to bad things.
Totally.
Exactly. And because if you start off selfless in trying to do that, like, say if I was like, if she said, hey, don't hang out with your friends, and I was like, okay, at the beginning, I don't hang out, and I start to build this resentment, and then towards that curve, what I'm going to turn into is selfish. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start hanging out with my friends. And then by all that time and effort and energy that you guys put into the relationship, that's what the viewpoints are. It's like, you were selfless at the beginning of our relationship, but now you're doing everything on your own, and you're selfish. And that's what I feel like causes like nasty breakups.
Yeah, I agree. And it was interesting you said that you didn't feel like you were good enough for Carrie at the time, which is exactly how I felt as well, because I feel like a lot of girls don't buy the excuse of you're too good for me. A lot of guys will say that, and some guys are using it as bullshit. They totally are. But I also feel that a lot of people out there truly feel that way, and not to quote Perks of Being a Wallflower, but I'm going to quote it. We accept the love we think we deserve, and that's true for a lot of people out there, because as guys, like, especially, you know, not people, human beings who can kind of self-reflect, I feel like for me personally, it's, even with Ash, it was like, no, you don't understand. Like, you might think I'm great. I'm like, I know the thoughts that go up in here, and some are like really disgusting, and I don't know why they are, but like, I don't know what I'm doing with the future of my life. Like, I'm just a mess. So just please. So I totally agree with you there. But Mark, can you read the next email? I think we answered that pretty well.
Nice transition, Jared.
All right. This is from Marissa. She says, so I followed my dreams and I got a converted van to live in. This year with COVID has been tough, but dating in general is hard when living van life. Dean, as a fellow van lifer, if you were still single and exploring in your van, how would you approach your dating life? How do you recommend meeting quality people?
Well, Marissa, first and foremost, thanks for emailing us. We appreciate it. It's a great question. There's actually an episode that we recorded, I want to say maybe like 6 months ago, with my friend Michelle, who is, at the time, I think she's in a relationship now, but at the time she was single and living van life full time. And she was talking about the struggles that she's faced and how she is able to kind of curb that. So go back and check that one out. But I do think she ran into some issues because, you know, she's traveling around a lot. She's in a town for not very long, and then she's on the road. So even if you meet someone, it's like, well, you're gone all of a sudden. But the nice thing about living the van life is, you know, you're not stuck in like a house or an office for the large part of the day. You're doing things like hiking, rock climbing, skiing, whatever it is. And so what you need to do is, you know, explore those hobbies and interests, and then meet someone while doing them, preferably, that shares those interests with you, that you can then go out and do those things with. And it really depends on like if you're moving around from spot to spot. I unfortunately haven't really been able to live in the van full time for about over a year since I broke the leg. So maybe I'm not like the best person for this advice, but definitely like do the things that interest you, like hiking or whatever it is, mountain biking, it doesn't matter. Find someone that also likes those same things, and then, you know, whether it starts as a friendship or like a companion thing where you guys go out and do those things together, then it could snowball into a relationship from there. But in terms of like living in the van full time and moving around so much, it's probably tricky because you're so nomadic and you're moving around all the time. You just got to find someone that's doing that same thing. And then, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I also feel like living in a van, it's kind of a time where you don't really even need to like prioritize being in a relationship. It's a time where you should like do the things that you want to do to make you happy. And then I think by doing those things, it'll eventually lead you to the person that you need to be with. So hopefully that helps. But like I said, go back and listen to the episode. I can't remember the name of it, but it was with Michelle. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
I feel like you're domesticated now. I feel like Kaylin has domesticated you, Dean.
You know, I don't want to say that she's domesticated me per se,
but
yeah, I mean, since dating her, we've bought a house together. We adopted a dog together.
I mean, you're sleeping in a king bed now. Who the hell are you, Dean?
Not just a king bed, but a California king bed.
A
family of six could fit in this freaking thing. It's ridiculous.
I'll tell you, that king bed is not fitting in the van.
No, it's not fitting in a van. That's for gosh darn sure. I don't know. I think whenever I set out to do the whole van life thing, I set out with the maybe like the preconceived notion that I would do it for like a year to a year and a half. And I did make it just about a year and a half. And so I'm proud of myself for that at least. And I still have it, you know, as a recreational vehicle for like weekend trips, weekend trips.
And I would imagine that you're going to still travel in it. The van life is not over for Dean.
It's not over, but you're right. It's not like it's one thing to have the van and live in it and like have all of your earthly possessions in the van. And then another thing to have the van while also like having a garage to like keep everything else. You know what I mean? So
it's a
little saddening. It's a little saddening, but you're right. There is definitely going to be some big van trips where I'll spend like at least a month or so in the van traveling around. I still want to do like a trip down to Mexico and Central America. And then obviously up north too. So there's still a lot of memories to be had with the van for sure. Is that going to do it for this week's episode?
I think so, my friend.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about?
I think that does it.
There's got to be some burning questions that we haven't gotten to yet.
I mean, we didn't get to hot topics, including Harry Styles dating Olivia Wilde, but.
Well, I think that we should at least talk about Peter and Kelly breaking up. I know that it's happened, you know, at this point, what, a week or two ago. But it's a bachelor breakup, and it's not just a bachelorette breakup, but it is like the bachelor breaking up with his girlfriend, which is a pretty big deal. It made headlines, you know. So,
do you have some thoughts
happened.
On it?
How long were they together?
They were together for like 6 months, like not very long.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess the only reason that I have thoughts on it, and the only reason that, well, the only reason we're talking about it is because they were dating. Now they're not, and they were in The Bachelor, mm-hmm. as we are.
Well, so Mark, I don't know if you know, but so obviously Peter was the last Bachelor, but he started dating this girl Kelly, who was on his season after his season stopped airing. So he picked somebody else. They got engaged. Yeah. They broke it off, and then like a couple weeks later, it got like you know announced or they posted on social media that like he started dating someone that she like was like 10th too. It wasn't like he went to his runner-up. I don't know what happened.
Interesting.
I know.
I think the only like contribution that I have to that whole thing is Peter reminds me a lot of myself from my first stint on Paradise.
How so?
You know, like just like unsure of himself, like kind of wants to be like that. The bachelor, not like the bachelor, but like be a bachelor, like be mm-hmm. single, experience being single. You know, kind of like relish the newfound 5 seconds of fame that you're going to have for a little bit. And like the idea of a relationship sounds good to him or me at the time, mm-hmm. but I think the practice of it is a little bit more challenging.
I get that. I agree.
So that's like the one addition or like the one contribution that I have to that whole situation is I feel like Peter now is who I was a couple of years ago. And I'm not saying like I'm any better than I was then or now or whatever, but like, you know, I think that
I think you've grown everyone, since then. I think you've definitely grown.
But I just feel like he, you know, he wants to be single. He wants to like experience the bachelorhood for a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just
whenever you see a bachelor breakup, it's always a little saddening, you know.
Sounds like he should explore that van life, man.
That's right.
See,
that's
I was going to say he should be like Markel in Vegas. He needs to explore that life.
Yeah, that's a quick, fast and easy. But with quarantine, it's tough, you know.
That is true.
Grow a mustache, maybe.
Yeah, strong enough.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. A big thank you, of course, to Markel. Markel, thanks for co-hosting with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh my God, anytime. It was great. Well, congratulations once again on getting engaged. Any like potential wedding date?
She wants to do it this year for sure. In either August would be the soonest, so summer, or latest probably November.
All right. So well, have fun with it. As someone who's gone through the wedding process planning, it goes by all too quickly. And it can be stressful at times, but it is ultimately so much fun. And I would do it all over again if I could. So have fun with it, man.
Okay. Thank you.
Markel, hey, I'm going to send you my my Vegas address. Feel free to send the wedding invitation there. Nice. And then if you guys ever want to like come over, you know, for cookies and wine, by all means, you're more than welcome to.
Love that.
Just make sure you give Dean a plus one so I can tag along too. I'm gonna bump Kaylin out of the way. I'm going.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely going to hit you up when I'm in Vegas, man. Vegas is a good spot. Hopefully everything opens back up soon and we'll do it upright.
Fingers crossed. I would love that. I look forward to it.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Markel. And so a big thank you to all, obviously, our emailers for sending in all your emails. We love you, Sock Army. We appreciate you. Without you guys, there is no podcast. So make sure you tune in next week where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.